We are turning our attention to Braille. Yes, the code which many blind and indeed some partially sighted people use to read and to write. It's well over 100 years old now. Does it still have a place in the 21st century? Well, we think yes. Can it work well with new technology? How easy is it to learn? All these questions and more. We'll be asking Dave Williams, who joins us now. And Dave, I think it's fair to say you're an advocate of Braille.
Absolutely. Yes, I am, through my role at RNIB as a customer experience manager and also as chair of the Braillists Foundation.
Is it easy to learn?
I guess you would have to say, is print easy to learn? Sometimes people wonder, what do all those dots mean? And I would ask, what do all those loops and lines mean? So if you practice little and often and take your time and you're patient and you're committed and you've also got support from friends and family and also other beginners who are starting to learn Braille, then yeah, it can be easy to get a grip of the alphabet, numbers, basic punctuation. You can learn that stuff in just a few weeks, and that's enough Braille to be useful. You can play a game, you can label items around the home, you can write a greetings card, you can use Braille in any number of ways. You don't have to start with War and Peace, right? So it's not necessarily about reading full-length books in Braille at first, but just finding ways in which you can free your ears to hear the people and the environment around you while being able to read by touch. And that essentially is what Braille is. It's a system for reading by touch rather than using your ears or your eyes.
So there's grade one and grade two. Is one basically your kind of ABC and learning punctuation, whereas two is kind of looking to create words from grade one?
Yeah, that's right. So it's just written language. So if we were to write RNIB in Braille, you would write the Braille pattern for the letter R, the letter N, letter I, the letter B. So it's not a different language. It's just a code for representing the same letters and numbers that you use. And that is essentially uncontracted or grade one Braille, as it's called. Now, you might have heard of contracted Braille or grade two Braille, and this is sort of the next level. So some Braille readers decide that actually they want Braille to take up less space. They want a more efficient way of reading. And that's where we introduce a system of abbreviations, contractions, short forms, ways of compressing Braille using fewer characters so that it's quicker to read, quicker to write, and takes up less space.
So a bit like someone who's maybe using their pen and paper, a bit like shorthand.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, that's a good comparison, yeah.
Can you learn at any stage of life, or is it easier if you're younger?
Well, it depends on the individual. There have been studies recently that have shown that neuroplasticity is a thing. So I'm not a scientist, but my understanding of neuroplasticity is that actually your brain can adapt and learn new things later on in life. There used to be this idea that actually learning a language or learning to do something new would be more difficult later in life. And it might require a little bit more effort in terms of finding the motivation, but it certainly is possible. And through our work with the Braillists Foundation, we know that people in their 60s, in their 70s, and in their 80s even have learnt and mastered Braille.
So in terms of bringing Braille into the 21st century, or making it more compatible, say, with 21st century, or is it a case, Dave, that the 21st century has to be more compatible with Braille if we're looking at technology?
Braille now is in every smartphone, tablet, laptop computer. The software to convert the text that's on screen into the Braille code exists on all those devices and many more besides. So to unleash that Braille, you connect that device to what's known as a Braille display. And this is an electronic device that raises and lowers pins to make the patterns to represent the Braille code. You can also, on some devices, actually change the touch screen into a Braille keyboard. So you don't need any extra Braille hardware. It's actually the way I write all my text messages. And the great thing about it is it's very fast. It's also very accurate. And if you're using earphones, it's also very private.
Now, Braille, obviously, it's bulky if you're looking at books, you know, maybe for reading, for pleasure, for education. So I suppose technology really shrinks it all down. You can carry around volumes and libraries in your pocket of Braille as opposed to reams and reams of paper.
RNIB has an electronic Braille library, and we offer, I think, around 6,000 books, and they all fit onto a single SD card, which is about the size of a postage stamp. So if you imagine all those big Braille volumes, actually you'd need several trucks to get access to all of that. So everybody can have the electronic Braille library collection on an SD card if you join the Braille library, or you can download that content from RNIB reading services. But of course, with the Braille software that I just talked about, that is built into your screen reader, so built into VoiceOver on iPhone and also other screen readers, then any text that's shown on screen, so that might be a book in Apple Books, on Kindle, or just on the web, any content can be instantly converted into Braille that you can read by touch. That frees up your ears, so you're able to listen to what's going on around you. You're able to read to the kids. Bedtime story. People who've heard me talking about Braille before will know I'm quite passionate about, you know, parents reading the bedtime story with their kids. It's such an important part of the day and an important part of parenting. So you're able to do that independently rather than handing that off to an audiobook. So for me, Braille is about finding your own voice and reading for yourself rather than being read to. Now, that's not to the exclusion of other formats. And I want to make that really clear that audio clearly has a massive role to play. I use audio a lot. You know, I listen to audiobooks. I'm using speech on my computer a lot of the time as well, but for getting accurate spelling, punctuation and layout, and also just allowing my ears to hear what's going on around me, there's nothing really that compares.
Oh, here's an interesting question for you, Dave. So I know people who read their textbooks or their newspapers, and they still prefer the physical page to, say, an audiobook or reading something visually on a tablet. Are you like that at all? Do you prefer reading a book in Braille if you can? Do you like the feel of the text?
Yeah, I do. And where I can get hard copy, you know, I get my bank statements in hard copy. And even though I can read it online, sometimes just having it laid out on the page, it makes a lot more sense because you're able to feel the full page, the layout, particularly when you're learning a subject as well, like a technical subject like science, technology, maths. Sometimes having information tabulated and laid out on a page can make it easier to understand. Music, if you're studying, you know, multi-part harmony, then obviously that's going to make more sense on the page. And RNIB's Braille library will let you have any of those books in hard copy as well. So you can have those books produced and sent out to you, and that's at no cost, and you can keep those books for as long as you like. And of course, the great thing about hard copy, you don't need to worry about batteries and wires and Bluetooth or anything like that.
I think it's fair to say then, Dave, that I think we'd agree that Braille and technology really do work hand in hand, or hand in glove even. If people though would like to learn Braille, is it easy to find somewhere?
RNIB has Braille courses available. The most popular one, I think, for adults is our fingerprint course that you can get from the RNIB shop. The Braillists Foundation has a Braille for Beginners course, which is now available at any time. That course is now on demand. So you can go to braillists.org. That's braillists.org/beginners, and you can register for the Braille for Beginners course, and you get 10 audio lessons, and you also get a handout sent to you through the post, a Braille hard copy handout through the post, and that's completely free of charge. And then the third element of that is the peer support. So you've got an email group where there are other people learning Braille. You can ask questions. You've got access to a tutor. There are Zoom office hours every month, so you can join in and talk in real time with other learners and with a Braille tutor to get your questions asked and answered. So I think that's the important thing when you're learning any new skill, whether it's music or a language, is being part of a community and having that peer support. So there are courses available from RNIB, so do get in touch.
Dave, great to chat with you, and thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Happy World Braille Day.